Good morning.
Good morning.
That wasn't very good. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better. That's better. We are here at the invitation of the Lord, and when we gather in His name, He's present with us. Think about what that means. And our prayer is that as His presence works through His Word, He will change our lives. As His disciples, we are to be different. And this morning, if you look on the front of your bulletin, there's one fish out of line. That's the Christian fish, going against the flow. And this morning, I had to wear my tie that has the Christian fish going against the flow. Because we're going to talk about being countercultural disciples. Not always easy, but absolutely necessary. Now, we have a special blessing this morning. Three baptisms. And I'm going to invite the baptism family to come up at this time and join me up by the baptismal font. That's okay. They can come this way, too. We light the candles to remind us that the children have that spark of faith planted in their hearts and lives, and we give the candle to them so that every year on this date, in addition to their birthdays, they can light the candle and remember their baptism birthday. This morning we have a mom and two kids. You can all come up a little closer so they don't feel like you've abandoned them clear back in the corner. And joining us up front is a special friend. Let's welcome Greg Smith, a longtime pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church, longtime friend of mine, and longtime pastor of this family. So he's a part of the celebration this morning also. God's Word gives us examples of baptism. And as people are a little bit older, not infants like often we see baptized, the Bible sets an example that those who are baptized when they're able to understand the message of God's love in Jesus are to profess that faith and then be baptized. When the Ethiopian eunuch was told the story about Jesus by Philip, the Ethiopian said, "Can I be baptized?" And Philip said, "Yes, if you believe with all your heart." And so I'm going to address questions to Josiah, McKenna, and Stephanie to have them express briefly what they have come to believe and now are going to be baptized. So are you ready for the questions we talked about? Do you believe that God is the one who made you and has given you your gifts and talents and is watching over you every day? Then answer yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again so you could be part of His family now and in heaven? Then answer yes. I like that shaking your head yes. That's good. And do you believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that has brought you to faith and taught you about Jesus and has promised to live with you all throughout your life? Then answer, yes. Okay. Do you desire to be baptized in the name of Jesus? Then answer, yes. Okay. Now I got to make sure I get the full names right here. So I'm going to turn to that. Josiah, you going first? Okay? All right. Josiah Brian Bader, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, McKenna Rose gets Graham. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stephanie, Mom, Stephanie Aaron Bader, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, those of you who are here with those who are being baptized are the supporters, and what follows baptism is just as important as the baptism itself. Ryan, you with Stephanie are told in God's word not to provoke your children to anger, not to exasperate them, but to train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You will be with them more than anyone else, and your influence will be the greatest in their lives. Is it your intention to fulfill that responsibility as parents? If yes, then answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
May God bless you as you carry out that important function. Grandparents, godparents, former pastor, you have also a responsibility to express your faith to those who are baptized, to pray for them, to encourage them, to be a model for them of what it means to follow Jesus. If you are intending to do your part, then answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
May God enable you to do that important work also. Congregation, when people are baptized among us and are part of our family, we all have a responsibility to encourage each other and build one another up. You can pray for this family. You can also encourage them and be a model of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. If that's your intention, then answer also yes with the help of God. May God enable us to do our part together to grow as Jesus' disciples and live for him. You can now return after we have a prayer. Would you bow your heads with me for prayer? Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of baptism, for the gift of faith. We know it's your work. We pray especially for Josiah, McKenna, and Stephanie, that what you began in them today and in the past, you would bring to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Enable us all to do our part to build one another up and to live as your disciples. We thank you for this day and ask your special blessing upon those who are a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you may return to your seats. And I'll give these things for you later, all right? Wow. That's awesome. That's some of the blessing of the ministry of our school and our congregation. And we need to remember how important those things are and what they mean in people's lives. As we come into God's presence, we also acknowledge that we are unworthy. And so we acknowledge our sin, confess it before him, and are assured of his forgiveness. In your bulletin and on the screen is our confession of sin this morning. Let's rise as we approach our God, confessing our sin and being assured of his forgiveness. In repentant faith, we come before our Lord to confess our sins against him and other people. Take a moment in your heart to remember those sins you may have committed against God and other people. Now join me as we pray our prayer of confession. Almighty God, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful. We have sinned by our selfish thoughts, our hurtful words, and our unloving actions. We have failed to live as your disciples and to be your witness. We have been reluctant to do your will and blind to your presence and reign in our lives. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Forgive us. Amen. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I assure you, all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the eyes of our hearts be enlightened that we may know and do his will and live in the sure hope to which he has called us. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's join in singing our praise to God, and let's be seated as we sing this morning.
Thank you.
have a couple of special songs by our school children. I'm not sure how this is all going to take place. All right. So the kids are coming up, right?
If you're 5th through 8th grade, oh, our little ones are anxious. All right, then 1st through 4th graders, you can come up. Kindergartners and preschoolers, come on up. I can't tell if these are our students or somebody else today. Well, as they're all getting up here and finding their places, I just want to take a moment to welcome everybody here, especially those that don't normally worship with us at St. Mark's. This is a new thing we're going to try this year called a school Sunday, and we're going to do this 5 times this year of inviting all of our St. Mark's students and their families to worship here at St. Mark's with us. Just to, one, invite those that might not normally worship with us, maybe if they worship somewhere else or don't have a church home. It's a lot easier to try a new church when you know somebody else that's going to be there, right? So this is one of those ways that we're hoping to connect our school families with our church families. We also want to share that a little bit about what we do at school. Every Wednesday, we worship and have chapel here in the sanctuary, and we sing lots of worship songs that are exciting for the kids so that they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they can have a stronger faith as they learn how to worship. So these are a couple of the songs that we've been working on and practicing and singing in our chapel services that the kids love. So I hope that you enjoy them too.
Good morning. My name is Mike Kennedy. On behalf of St. Mark's, I'd like to welcome you, visitors, and it's my privilege to read the first reading. And if you open the Bible, the author promises to show up. So I'd encourage you to pick up your Bible. It's in front of you, that black pew Bible, and turn to page 1494. We read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Jesus tells a parable about praying. He speaks to his disciples and to us. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mike. We got to have the kids back up one more time. So if you want to come up for the children's message, join me right up here. Got some kids? Come on. I know there's a bunch of you out there. Have a seat up here by me, if you would. Man, you guys got all kinds of outfits on. I don't even know what some of them are. I'm out of it. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have parents?
Me.
Oh.
I think everybody does.
You think everybody does?
Yes.
You are right. Now, how many of you have parents that say things to you like, "Pick up your toys"? Did you ever say that? Now, some of you are a little young for this. Do any of your parents ever say, "Get off of your telephone"? Some people have them, don't they? Right? Do they ever say things like, eat what's on your plate? Yeah. And maybe, don't cross the street by yourself? Oh, yeah. And then sometimes they might say something like, walk, don't run. They ever say something like that? Now, do you always do what they say? Not kind of most of the time, right? Now, what's the best reason to do what your parents say?
I know. Because you could get hurt, really injured.
Okay.
Like you could trip and fall and maybe break something.
So they're trying to take care of you and keep you safe, right? And do what's best for you. Is there any other reason why it's good to obey your parents? Yeah.
Because they are trying to be mean to you. They just don't want you to get hurt. They just want you to be safe.
They want you to be safe and they want to take care of you. Why do they want to take care of you?
Because they're kids. Because they love us.
Because they love you. That's really the reason, isn't it? And why do you want to do what they say? Well, that's probably one reason you won't get in trouble, but the best reason is because you love them too, right? Now, how many of you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Oh, I hope everybody holds up their hand. Jesus died on the cross for you. Do you know that Jesus tells us what he wants us to do also? He wants us to love other people. He wants us to forgive other people. He wants us to tell other people about Jesus. Do we always do what Jesus wants us to? Not always, right? But what's the best reason for doing what Jesus wants us to?
Because he loves us.
And because we love him. Now, that's the best reason. Sometimes we don't always do that. But as a disciple, because he loved us so much and died on the cross for us, we want to live the way he wants us to and follow him. Can you remember that? Let's have a prayer, and then we'll let you go to little worship if you're going to go there, okay? Would you bow your heads with me? Dear God, we thank you for loving us and sending Jesus to be our Savior. We want to do what you want us to do because you loved us so much and we love you. Help us to be what you want us to be, to love others, to forgive others, and to tell them about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Little worship, if you want to follow the cross right down the aisle there, fourth grade through four-year-olds. And if you want to go to little worship, and now, let's all of us get into God's Word. Mike already had you get your Bibles out, so if you put them back, you got to get them out again. Because I want you to work with me. All my sermons are working sermons, if you remember. Couple of reminders. If you were with us 2 weeks ago, I started a series for that 2 weeks ago and this Sunday and then next Sunday when Pastor Bob is gone, so I decided to try to put three things together. And the theme was how to live as disciples of Jesus. And we're learning from what the Apostle Paul told his young disciple, Timothy, about what it meant to follow Jesus. Now, we can learn lessons from him. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what's the foundation for that. And it's kind of what I talked about with the children. Why do we want to do what God wants us to do? Because he loves us so much. That's the motivation. Remember I used last 2 weeks ago for those of you that were with us, because, therefore, because of what he did for us, therefore, we want to live for him. It's a response to what he's done for us. He won't love us anymore. He can't love us any more than he already does. But the foundation for being a disciple is what God did for us and how he put that into our lives through faith and through baptism, like we shared this morning already. So that's the foundation. That's how we come to grips with being a disciple. Because of what he did, therefore, we want to live for him. I used the Ten Commandments last 2 weeks ago just to kind of say the first two verses of the Exodus 20 record of the Ten Commandments, as we call them, says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, these are my words. You will have no other gods before me. Why would you? It's not what I gotta do. It's what I gotta do in thankfulness for what he's done for me. Now, our theme this morning is how to live as a countercultural disciple. And we're going to use also Paul's advice to Timothy to learn how to do that. So turn with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. That's page 1697 in the Bibles. This will be on the screen also, but we want you to also have it in your Bibles. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. These are the words of Paul to Timothy. But as for you, Timothy, and addressed to us also, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Now remember, Paul had said that he learned, that Timothy had learned this from his grandmother and his mother. And we talked 2 weeks ago about how important it is to have people in our lives that have done that for us. And I shared with you that 90% of people, when asked, why are you a Christian now, will point to a person as to why they have faith in Jesus. So we continue to see the importance of people in our lives, especially people who are disciples of Jesus and encouraging us to live as his disciples. So that's what Paul is doing here with Timothy. As we read on in verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. The word is inspired in probably our concepts most often. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Now, we often think preach is preacher. It's really talking about speak forth the word of God. Don't be ashamed to say what God says. So it really applies to all of us, not just to those who have the title of preacher. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Tell people about Jesus. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And again, ministry is service. And all of us have a ministry. We all have a place to serve, a need to serve. How do we deal with the culture in which we live as disciples of Jesus? One way to look at it is when people encounter the culture, the environment we live in, all the things that are going on around us, and we could come up with all kinds of specifics, but generally speaking, what's going on in the culture around us? So as a disciple, I need to know how to deal with that. Now, as people encounter the culture, I think they have different worldviews, okay? Let's talk about a worldview. How do I view the need to make decisions about what's going on around me? I think one worldview that's prevalent among people today is, if it seems good and it feels good and it seems right, do it. That's a worldview, and that's what's going on. Another worldview is, everybody else is doing it, why shouldn't I? Another worldview might be whatever our leaders tell us to do. Those are the kinds of things that are going on in our culture and the different ways that people are reacting to it. But a Christian disciple, a disciple of Jesus, needs to have a biblical worldview. Now, what's that mean? It means that when I encounter something in the culture in which I live, the environment all around me, when I encounter what's going on there, my first thought should be, what does God say about that? Not how do I feel about it, not how everybody else might feel about it, but what does God say about that? A number of years ago, and probably this has gotten worse than it even was back then, but a number of years ago, George Barna did a survey of regular attending Christians. And at that time, he said a regular attending Christian attended worship services 35 times a year. That's how he did the survey. Well, if you think about 52 Sundays and then special services, 35 is kind of dumbing it down. Well, after COVID now, they say 25% of people haven't returned to worship at all, and it's actually going the other direction. But as he asked what he defined as regular attending Christians in worship services, he found that half of them did not have a biblical worldview. They dealt with things like how they felt about it. Feelings can be very misleading. They dealt with in how the rest of the world was feeling about it and how they were dealing with it. They went along with the crowd. But a biblical worldview says, what would God say? And I want to come from where He speaks. I want to do it His way. Is that easy? No. Is it popular? No. I don't know what kind of news media you look at, but I've noticed in the last several weeks there have been a number of news articles on where I watch the news that have been about the FBI and our legal system arresting Christians and Christian pastors for taking a biblical worldview about things going on in our culture. Not easy, but necessary. Let's look at what Paul says. It must be the foundation for a countercultural disciple life and a biblical worldview. Go with me back to 2 Timothy, but go to chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and then verse 19. Paul is speaking to Timothy, but it's a general discipleship lesson that we can gain from. He says, keep reminding them. That's fellow Christians. Keep reminding those who believe in Jesus of these things. What Jesus did for them is what he's referring to. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. Is that going on in our culture? Wow. What's a woman? Our Supreme Court justice couldn't define it. Don't quarrel about words. What's God say? Biblical world view. And he goes on to Timothy and he says, it is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Correctly handles the word of truth is interpreted in various ways, but don't try to make it say something it doesn't say, I think is a good way to look at rightly handling the word of God. A number of years ago, I ran across something that's always been very meaningful to me. God said it in his word. I believe it in my heart. That settles it forever. The foundation has to be to live as a countercultural disciple, the truth of God's word. No compromise. Now go down to verse 19. In verse 19, it says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. He wants us to be different. And the basis of our difference in living in this world, in going against the flow in many ways, is that we have a biblical worldview. What does God say about that? Now just think about the things that our culture is surrounding us with. And ask yourself, where's God fit in those ideas? If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the section which we read earlier, look with me at verses 14 through 17, the first ones that we read. Here again, Paul is saying to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. If you as a Christian look back and you see people that God has put in your life who have made a difference for you, remember what they told you. Remember what they taught you. Remember what they modeled for you. Significant people that God has brought into our lives are the ones he uses to make us more like him. And Paul goes on, and those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The main message of the Scripture is not what I should do, but it's what God has done for me. Faith in Jesus Christ saves me and makes me part of God's family. That is the key message. But then he goes on to say, if you're a believer in Jesus, do what's right. Paul goes on, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is truth. It's absolute. We believe, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it is inerrant. and infallible. Now, those are big words, but this is absolute truth. And it has to be what directs the life of a countercultural disciple. Now, what does God want our countercultural disciple life to look like and mean in the world? Second point on your outline, God's desire for our cultural witness. What's he want us to do? Go to 2 Timothy 4 and look at with me at verses 1 to 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, this has eternal consequences. Wow. This isn't just something for this life. This has eternal consequences. How we live and what is the basis of our life. And so he says, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of the appearing of his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Speak it clearly. Be prepared in season and out of season. Be prepared to speak. Be prepared to speak the truth. He says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come, it's here, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. Itching ears probably is a way to describe that is people have a worldview, and I mentioned several of those, and they want people to speak and to support what their worldview is. Feels good, do it. Everybody else is doing it. I was told by our leaders that this was right. Don't let that happen. Don't have itching ears that you want to fit into the culture. Be countercultural. Go against the flow. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all of your duties. In Matthew, or in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, we hear again that same kind of encouragement. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and shown and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Picture yourself hearing all these different ideas from the culture and saying, well, I never thought of it that way before. Maybe it is that way. I had a conversation briefly with a person who had a strong background in Christianity and in the family that he came from. And I said to him, everything that's going on in our culture is in one way or another attack on Christianity and the truth of the scriptures. 40-year-old person said to me, I don't agree with that. This woke world is finally getting to the truth. Are you kidding me? I wish I'd have had a little more time to talk with him. That's discovering the truth, going contrary to everything God says? I beg your pardon, that's not what I believe. That's not what a countercultural disciple should believe. And then in verse 15, he goes on to say, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth, patiently, in love, concerned about people, not argumentatively, not judgmentally, but speaking the truth. What does God use to change people's hearts? The truth. Speaking the truth in love. We all have people in our lives who need to know the truth. And we need to be witnesses of that truth without compromise. Because that's how God works, through the truth of his word. So what should it look like if we're going to live as countercultural disciples? I think our lives should be different than the lives of the people around us. God will enable us to do that. I think our speech and what we say about the truth needs to be spoken clearly with love to let God work. Maybe it's a time for us to look at our own worldview. Is it a biblical one? Is it based on the truth of God's word? Then let that determine where you take your stand. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to vote. And I don't want this to be political in any sense, but I'd like to encourage you, as you look at candidates and you do a little background searching, look with a biblical worldview. And vote accordingly. I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be salt and light in the world. Would you pray with me about that? Almighty God, this was a hard one. Different ways that this message is received, probably differences among us here this morning. Let the truth come forth. Let it work in our hearts and lives. And make us the kind of disciples you want us to be, so that the world might also know Jesus, what he did for them, and come to be a part of his family by faith in him. Use us, Lord. We're willing and we're available. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As part of our worship, we respond with our tithes and our offerings, and we invite you to also worship your, or register your worship attendance in the folders that are in the book racks of the pews, and make sure everyone in your row has an opportunity to do that. Let's respond to our God also with our tithes and our offerings this morning. Thank you.
justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave His life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to You we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore You, behold You, our Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to You. Turn Your eyes to the
profess our faith this morning using Martin Luther's explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Let's rise as we make that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own, and live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. In our special prayers this morning, we want to remember Jim Moss, who had surgery this past week and is recovering in the hospital. Also, the Mike Defoe family at the death of his mother this past week after a very short and serious illness. And we pray for our Guatemala team. They are there serving in the name of Jesus. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me, and then after the special prayers, join me in the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, you are the giver of life and the one who brings life to an end. We don't always understand how that all happens. Your timing is not our timing. Yet we trust you to do what's best. We ask for your comfort and strength for the Defoe family at the loss of Anita. And we pray that it would be a time when faith is strengthened in Jesus and people are drawn to him. We pray also for Jim Moss as he recovers in the hospital. Restore his health and strength. We pray also for our team in Guatemala, that you would watch over them, protect them, keep them safe, but above all, use them to share your love in word and in deed. Bring people to Jesus through their mission. We ask this all in the name of him who also taught us to pray his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we use the words of Jesus when he instituted this supper with his disciples. Note clearly his words. We don't understand how it's possible, but as he holds a piece of bread, he says, "This is my body." As he holds the cup, he says, "This is my blood." Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in memory of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in memory of me." The peace and the power of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated and allow us to commune those who will be assisting in the distribution. And after they have communed, we invite you to the Lord's table. On the screen are five questions where God encourages us to examine ourselves to partake with blessing. If you can answer yes to these questions drawn from the scripture, you are invited to partake of the Lord's table with us.
You are not a God in need.
The true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen you to live as his disciple and keep you in faith for life eternal. Depart in peace and with the joy of the Lord. Amen. May God be above you to bless you, within you to sanctify you, around you to protect you, and before you to guide you. And may God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn and let's rise to sing. God bless your day. Two things. Greet people around you, especially people you may not know, and I'll greet all of you at the door. God bless your day.